our first class is you're saved. That's the first thing you need to know as a child of God, is that you're saved. Do you know how many people that has made a profession, truly got born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and oh, Satan has warred their mind to try to believe. I mean, listen to me. I can sit here long enough and give you a list of long enough of things, and I can make you think you're lost. You can. You can. I'm telling you, you cannot go on how you feel that you're saved. Don't never go on your feelings. Well, I feel like I'm saved, preacher. Well, tomorrow you may not feel like you're saved. Don't go on your feelings. Go on what the Bible says. Yes, how do I know I'm saved? Because I've done what the Bible said. I've called on the name of the Lord Jesus. He's come into my life. He saved me. That's how you know you're saved, okay? You've done what the Bible said. You've done what the book said. That's the only thing we have now. So first things first, you're saved. The key memory verse was Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You're saved tonight. From being saved, you go to the place now that you share the gospel. Before you have to do, before anything, you're saved, go share it. First thing I tell anybody that gets saved, I say, especially if it's a man, I say, and he's married, I say, go tell your wife. Go tell your wife. If it's a wife, and me and my wife has talked to her and she's gave her life to Jesus, we say, go tell your husband. If it's a kid, we say, go tell your mom and daddy. We want them to go share before they ever do anything else. They're saved. First thing they need to do is go share what God has done in their life. They need to tell somebody. Is it important? Yes, it's important to tell somebody that you're saved. The memory verse there was Matthew 28:19-20. Anybody know it tonight? Let's hear it, Brother Eric. I was aggravating, but praise God. Let's hear it. I knew you was going to memorize it. Glory. I'm a memory verse man. I can't help it. A lot of people get into worship. They get into saying, I get into the Word. The Word is what's going to establish. You'll never forget that as long as you live. How old are you, Brother Eric? 52. He's 52. Don't tell me you can't learn a memory verse. He's 52. He didn't take the littlest one. He took a good size one and went home and learned it. You say, preacher, I just can't get it. Yeah, you can get it if you want to get it. I can sing every song to That Smell by Lynyrd Skynyrd. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Ooh, that smell. Y'all... Nobody had to teach me that. I memorized it. Brother Matt Smith, I memorized it. Freebird, I can sing the whole song. But it's useless. It's a no count, Brother Brian. That's no good. I can learn it if I want to learn it. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Thank you, Brother Eric. Man, that encouraged me tonight. I was just aggravating with you last week, but thank God. You knew. Hey, I called one I knew that would go and do it. You're saved. You share it. You go share it. Go ye therefore. And now tonight, you're saved, you share, now you study. And I want to go over with you tonight. You say, preacher, what do I study now that I'm saved? You say, I hate to study. Everybody hates to study. But there's nobody that's a surgeon that didn't go through school and study. You don't have school teachers in there that didn't go through and study. They had to study. They had to study. What did they study? They had to study to show themselves approved that they may do the work that God's called them to do. So tonight you're saved. You share the gospel and then you study. A lot of folks want to study before they ever share. So tonight what I want you to know is that you're saved. You share the gospel and you study that word. If you have a copy of God's word tonight, I ask you to stand. 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 15. Paul told young Timothy this. He said, if you're going to do the work and you're going to do it correctly, here's what you need to do. He said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Father, we love you, we praise you, we glorify you. There is no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved than at the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for this night. Lord God, I lift up right now out of all the prayer requests, the one that's on my heart tonight, Father. Lord God, I pray for them five kids, Lord God. Lord, I pray right now that you bless them, watch over them, open the windows of heaven, meet their needs tonight. Lord God, I pray right now for Brother Logan and Sister Kaylin and little Grady. Lord God, I lift them up to you. Put a hedge of protection around them. Lord God, use them, move on them, minister to them, meet their needs, Father. Lord, I pray right now that you help them, Lord God. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray tonight as we study your word, Lord God, it'd be a blessing when we walk out of this place. Father, we love you and we praise you. Guard my throat and guard my thoughts. It's in Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated tonight. So tonight we go to the place that you study. You have to study tonight, and that is tonight the key verse to memorize. And that's another thing. I want you to memorize these verses. I want you to put them into your heart tonight. And the key verse to memorize is 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 15. And the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This, and I highlighted it there. I made it real bold. This needs to be memorized. You need this in your bank to study to show thyself approved. But why do we study? Preacher, why do we study the Word of God? I'm saved now. I'm going to heaven. What good is it to study? When you study, you're not studying just the Bible, but you're studying God. You're studying the Holy Ghost. You're studying Jesus. You're studying the Word. You're learning what God has given you, what you are in Christ Jesus. You're learning these things that whenever wind of doctrine comes along, it doesn't blow you away. When you go to this church, you go to that church, you say, that ain't right. That ain't right. That ain't right. That ain't Bible. That ain't Bible. You can pick it out. You don't have to have a preacher there with you. You can pick out what's right and what's not right. But you won't be able to know that unless you study. I heard a survey given, and I read this the other day when I was talking about studying and thinking about it, and they was talking about people that watch counterfeit money, and they watch counterfeit $100 bills, and they watch counterfeit money, and how they knew to watch counterfeit money. They never looked at money that was fake. They never looked at fake money, never. They never looked at it. They always looked at the real, genuine, the authentic thing that was real, and when the fake thing come around, it was easy to catch. When they studied the authentic Word of God, and they knew that word, and they knew when something that wasn't right come along. Can I say to you tonight, we studied, number one, for God. Here's what he said. He says, study to show thyself approved unto who? Unto your preacher? No. You don't study to show yourself approved to me. I don't study to show myself approved unto you. I study to show myself approved unto God. So I study tonight to be approved, to show myself approved unto God, but also I study for growth. The more I study, the more I'm going to grow. The more I study, the more I'm going to understand the Word of God. The more I'm going to dig in. I study for God, I study for growth, and I study for guidance. When I study that Bible and I read that book and I understand it tonight, as the Holy Ghost gives me a revelation of that book tonight, I want you to know this. You'll get to the place that it'll guide you in the way that you should go. You won't go the way that you always went. You'll get on a new path. You'll get on a different path. You'll realize that path ain't where I need to be. I need to be somewhere else. And tonight, I want to say this to you. You say, preacher, what do I need to study? I want to give you two things that we need to study. The last one you may disagree with me, but I believe it's important in the life that we live in. But why do we study? We study for God, we study for growth, and we study for guidance. And one thing that we need to learn to do or study, and that is to pray tonight. We need to study. We need to learn how to pray tonight. The greatest weapon that you have in your life beside the Word of God is prayer tonight. And I've heard so many Christians say, I've done all I can do. I might as well pray now. That ought to have been the first thing you did. Well, I've done all I can do. I've done throwed so much money at that kid. They went wayward. I've done everything. I don't know what else to do, preacher. Now I might as well just pray. You should have prayed beginning. I should have prayed to start with. Prayer is my number one key tonight. And here it is. The Lord's Prayer, or really it's the model prayer. Matthew 6, 9 through 13, the Bible says, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We praise him right off the bat. We say, hallowed be thy name. We hold him above everybody. There's nobody higher than God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So many people, I wrote this on your paper, I hear this so many times, so many people say, I don't know how to pray. I've heard that from so many Christian people that say, I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to pray. Man, I just get choked up when somebody asks me to pray. Tonight, can I say to you, if you will just open up your mouth and let the Holy Spirit of God flow through you, you'll learn how to pray tonight. Here's what I wrote down, and I believe this in my life. Prayer. If you want to know how to pray tonight, here's what prayer is. Prayer is not some big great words. Prayer is not something that you're just blowing in the air. Prayer is an honest conversation. First off, if you're going to pray, you got to get honest. You got to get honest with God. You got to lay it all out. You got to get honest with Him. You got to say, God, here I am. I don't know what to do. I don't know what's going on. I know you're who you are. I know you're on the throne, and I'm bringing my petition before you. I know I don't have the words. I don't have everything to say, but I need you to answer. I need you to hear my prayers tonight. Prayer is an honest conversation with God through the Holy Spirit. If you want your prayer to get to heaven, it's got to go through the Holy Ghost. It's got to go through the Holy Spirit. He's going to be the one that teaches you and guides you and grows you and leads you and moves on you. Hey, listen to this tonight. Prayer is an honest conversation with God through the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you now. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit come to live inside of you. You say, preacher, I'm waiting on the Holy Ghost. You ain't waiting on nothing. You got Him. And I've said it a million times, and I'll say it again. It's never been about if you got the Holy Ghost. Did the Holy Ghost get all of you? You got all of Him. Prayer is an honest conversation with God through the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you now. Jesus taught His disciples to pray, and we must be taught as well. Have you ever got to a point you needed to pray, and you didn't have a clue what to say? Have you ever been to a place you just locked up? You didn't know what to say. You didn't know how to start it. You didn't know where to go. You said, preacher, what did I do? You pray anyway. You open your mouth and you let the Holy Spirit pray for you. You open. See, that's why we don't pray, because we don't know what to say. If we'll just let Him have our tongue, let Him have our mind, let Him have our soul, let Him have our spirit, and just open our mouth and let the Holy Spirit start audibling up what we can't say, He'll be able to take it to God in a way that God needs it to Him. Tonight, can I say to you, He is the one that intercedes for us and makes that prayer go. Look with me tonight in Romans chapter number 8 in verse number 26 tonight. You said, preacher, there's been times I'd had no clue of what to say, and I thank God for that. That lets me know when I do start praying, it's not me, but it's the Spirit of God that's taking it to the Heavenly Father. He says tonight that we must know how to pray, and the prayer is an honest conversation. In Romans chapter number 8 in verse number 26, here's what the Bible says. In Romans 8, 26, likewise the Spirit, that's the Holy Ghost tonight, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, helps us when we're weak, helps us when we don't know what to say, helps us when we don't have the words to say, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. When you ain't got a clue of what to say, man, I'm telling you what, you're in over your head and you don't know how to pray. Man, you're caught in a situation. If you pray this way, it's going to affect this person. If you pray that way, it's going to affect the other person. You don't know how to pray, when to pray. Have you ever had someone on their deathbed and you're so selfish you want to keep them here, but you know they'd be better off over yonder, and you don't know what to pray? You don't know how to pray. You say, God, you got to take this prayer. I don't know what to do. I want them here, but I know they'd be better off with you. Paul said, I'm in a betwixt. I'm called in a betwixt. It's better for me to stay, but I'd rather be going. And listen to this tonight. Here's what he said. Likewise, the Spirit. What does the Spirit do? It helpeth our infirmities. For when we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit. It is the Spirit itself. It is the Spirit itself, not somebody else. It is the Spirit of God. Have you ever been praying and you just, I mean, I'm talking about, you just start saying stuff, you think, oh Lord Jesus, what's going on here? Son, I've been in the altar with folks, me and my wife both has, and I'm telling you what, they get to praying, and I'm talking about the Spirit just take over, and they start just laying stuff out on the line that any other time they'd have never let it come out of their mouth. Have you ever been down on your knees before Almighty God and you start revealing stuff and you start telling stuff in your life that you would have took to your grave, you'd have took it to the deepest, darkest closet, and you wouldn't let nobody know about it, and all of a sudden the Spirit rises up inside of you and you start letting it out? That's the Holy Spirit. He'll dig where you won't go. He'll clean out what you won't clean. I'm not going to say you, because you may have enough. But according to God's Word, I don't have enough in me to dig that stuff up. It's the Spirit that shows me my wrong. It's the Spirit that shows me my dirtiness. It's the Spirit that it is the Spirit that drawed me to Jesus. It is the Spirit tonight. It's the Holy Ghost is what works on me tonight. Here's what he said. But the Spirit itself, what does it do? It maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Have you ever just been there? I'm talking about, I have, and you have too. Have you ever been at a casket? Have you ever been at a casket of a loved one and you didn't have no words to say, but you were just weeping unconditional? You had no words what to say. You didn't have a word to say. And you just started squalling your eyes out. And the Spirit starts speaking for you, your groanings on the inside. Have you ever walked up to somebody, I'm talking about son, you need to give them a word, but you ain't got a word. And you just walk up there and you just lay that hand on them and you just start praying, not audible out, but you just start praying in your spirit. And you just feel that peace of God come down. What is that, preacher? That's the Holy Spirit just moving in. Taking over when you don't know what to say. Have you ever said, man, if I say something, it's going to mess it up, so you just keep your mouth shut? That's the Holy Spirit telling you, hey, don't you say nothing right now. Let me handle this situation. See, that's what he does. He helps our infirmities. Let me show you this tonight. I want to keep moving on. I don't want to run out on this tonight. I want to keep moving on here. He said that he helps us in our infirmities tonight. So why we must pray tonight. Look down on your paper. We must pray tonight. And why must we pray? If you got a pen, you want to write this down. I didn't put everything on your paper. But if you got a pen, we must pray. Why? We must pray to the Heavenly Father daily. You must talk to God every day. If you're going to study, you're going to have to talk to God every single day. Don't you miss a day without talking to God. Don't you miss a day without talking to God. You talk to God every day. 1 Thessalonians, write this down, 5:17. Why do I talk to the Heavenly Father every day? 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. We stay in a constant mindset of prayer, talking to the Heavenly Father every single day of our life. We must pray. We must be a praying people. And get this tonight. To the Heavenly Father, daily we pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Every day of your life, you and I must pray for heavenly food because we need it daily. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. We need that food from heaven every single day of our life. You say, preacher, why do I need that? Write this down. John 6:48. Not only in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing, but in John 6:48, the Bible says, and this is what Jesus said. He said, I am that bread of life. He said, I am that bread of life. Every day you need that bread of life. You need to ingest it. You need to take it in. You need to read that word. You need to pray every day. God, show me in your word what you want me to see. I need to pray to the Heavenly Father every day. I need to pray for heavenly food every day. Can I say to the married couples, you talk to your spouse every day. If you don't, it ain't a good marriage. You better not go 4 or 5 weeks and not said a word to them. Okay, y'all on the tight ropes if y'all are. What do? I talk to her every day. Every day. If I talk to my spouse every day, I should talk to my Heavenly Father every day. If I'm going to go to the refrigerator every day, and I go to the refrigerator every day, I should go to the Bible every day. It's nothing different than you do anyway. You got the physical body, you got the spiritual. It ain't nothing different. We make it so hard to study and do what God's called us to do. It's nothing different than you do in your walk and talk anyway. If you go to work tomorrow and you walk in and your boss asks you a question and you ignore him and don't say nothing to him, and the next day you walk in and he asks you a question and you ignore him, it won't be long. There's going to be problems. To the Heavenly Father, we pray daily. For heavenly food, we need it daily. We pray for that. Daily, heavenly forgiveness we need daily. Daily, we need heavenly forgiveness. You say, well, I don't, and you may not mess up every day. You notice I said, you may not mess up every day. I do. Let me tell you this right here, Brother David Barnes. Me and my wife was talking yesterday, and we was talking about lying. I said, I can't stand a liar. And she said, well, you do it a pretty good bit. I said, excuse you? She said, this don't even worry about it. I said, no, we're going to talk about this. Excuse you? She said, well, just let me give you one example. I said, okay. Son, I didn't let the recliner down. I'm sitting up listening. I said, okay, give me an example. She said, Monday about 2:30, you said you was going to the church. I said, I did. She said, you said you was going to the church. I said, I sure did. And she said, instead of going to the church, you went somewhere else. And you didn't go to the church like you said you was going. Instead, you went somewhere else. What if something would have happened? I'd need you and you wouldn't have been where you said you was going. She said, that's a lie. White lie. A little white lie, but it's a lie. I said, well, what happened is I was headed to the church and one of my deacons, Brother David Barnes, called me and said, where are you headed to? And I said, I'm headed to the church. He said, well, do you want to go over here? And I said, sounds good to me. So I detoured and I went over there. No, it ain't your fault. It's still my fault. And I said, well, how do you figure that's a lie? She said, because you didn't do what you said you was going to do. Let me move on. Just chew on that for a little bit. Just chew. It's easy. It's easy. What if something would have happened to one of my kids and they'd have called the church and said, Brother Chad, is Brother BJ there? I ain't seen him. No, he told me he was going to be there. Well, I ain't seen him all day. He ain't been here. First thing I remind, well, where's he at? Who's he been with? Where's he been? I didn't look at it that way. Every day I need heavenly forgiveness, and we need it daily. 1 John 1:9, the Bible says this. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You say, preacher, what does that mean? Every day I say this in my prayer when I get home at night, during the day. Lord, forgive me of my sins and my shortcomings. The sins I don't know about. The sins that was willful that I knew and I did. And the sins I did that was unwillful, unwillful that I didn't even know that I did. Didn't have a clue. I said, why? Because he says, if I confess them, he's faithful and just. We need to talk to the Heavenly Father daily. We need heavenly food. We need heavenly forgiveness. And we need heavenly freedom every single day. You need to walk in freedom every day. Write this verse down, John 8:36. The Bible says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And you need that heavenly freedom so He can lead you and that He can deliver you. If you've not talked to Him and you've not talked to Him about your day and what you've got going on, we have a problem. We have to study. We have to study to show ourselves approved. Let me move on, and I want to move on before we get out of time. We must learn, not only we must pray. When you study as a child of God, just being born again, washing the blood, number one, you need to learn how to pray. Study that word, learn how to pray. But number two, you must learn His commandments. All right, now let me stop right here for a second. Now you're going back to the law, preacher. Now you're going back to be legalistic. Now you're going back to the law. If the Ten Commandments ain't such a big deal, why are we worried about them being in our schools? If the Ten Commandments ain't a big deal, why are we cared that they was took out of our courthouses? If it ain't no big deal and we don't even need to live by them, as a Christian, why even fight for them? If it's no big deal, the Ten Commandments, that's Old Testament, it's no big deal. Why are we so upset that they was took out of our schools? Why is it such a big deal that they're took out of the courthouses? If it ain't no big deal. That's what my mindset is. I say to you, the Ten Commandments is a big deal. And as a child of God, you need to learn them. I need to learn them. I need to know them. First four is going to tell me my relationship. First four is going to tell me my relationship between me and my Maker, between me and God, the first four. The last six is going to tell me how I treat Hagen Scott. It's going to tell me my relationship between me and mankind. The first four is going to get me in line with God. And then last six is going to show me how I treat mankind. Let me show you this, and I want you to write this down. I didn't put it on your paper. I want you to write down Exodus chapter number 20. Exodus chapter number 20. Verse 3 through 17 is where you'll find the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter number 20, 3 through 17. I wrote this on my paper. You may want to, you may not. And I know we're doing a Bible study. The first commandment, if you'll write verse number 3 beside it right there, that's where you'll find it. Exodus 20, verse number 3. And here's what it says. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Don't put nothing before Him. Don't put your family. Don't put your children. Don't put your church. Don't put nothing before God. He's got to be first. He's either Lord of all or He's not Lord at all. He don't take second place. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. On the second one, if you want to write verse number 4, that's where you'll find the second one. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Don't you worship no image. Don't you put nothing in your life that you worship. Number 3, If you want to write verse 7 beside it, that's where you'll find it. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain. Don't take God's name in vain. It's serious. As a Christian, if you hear that word, it ought to get all over you. And I know it ain't only that word, but you know what I'm saying. That word really strikes me hard. Or if you're just out and about and you say, oh, slang is slang and it's not good. Don't take it. It'll teach you how to live. Number 4, if you want to write down verse number 8, says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Number 5, if you want to write down the number beside it, it'll be verse number 12, honor thy father and thy mother. Why? Because it is important. It is important. Back talking mom and daddy shows me what kind of relationship you got with Jesus. See, these commandments laid out there to us. When I growed up, back talk mama. Got your jaw. Mama didn't know where your tail was. Whatever she get a hold of, she hit you there. Hello? That's the kind of mama I raised up with. But you know what? My mama's 70-something year old and I'm 45. I respect my mama. I may aggravate her, get her hair fixed, I go by and mess it up. But when mama speaks, I respect her. Number 6, you write 13 beside it if you want to, thou shalt not kill. Number 7, if you want to write beside there, thou shalt not commit adultery. I want to stop right there and say this. If you're a married man in here and you're looking at porn on your phone, you're committing adultery against your spouse. If you're a woman in here and you are looking at a phone and it's got naked pictures on it, you're committing adultery against your spouse. Write number 15, if you want to, by the 8th commandment, thou shalt not steal. Men learned that from a kid, ain't we? If it ain't yours, don't take it. Number 9, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. You can write 16 by there if you want to. That's where you'll find it. Don't bear false witness. Don't lie on somebody. Don't lie on it to make you look better. If you get around somebody and they're dogging somebody, that same person that's dogging that person, they'll dog you. Listen to me. Brother Roy, am I telling the truth? If you give ear to it and they'll dog that person to you, when you turn your back, get ready, they'll dog you. Here's what I do. I ain't got time for that, man. I ain't got time for that. If you'll give an ear to it, they'll keep on bearing false witness. Don't let them bear false witness in your ear. Not only the one that's bearing false witness, but the one that's doing the listening will be in the same boat. It's important to know them commandments. Number 10, don't covet what your neighbor's got. Don't covet it. Man, I want what you got, really. Covet so bad. I got to have it. Don't covet that. You don't know what it took that man took to get what he got. You don't know what it took to get what he got. So what does that say, preacher? Be happy with what you got. Be happy with what God's blessed you with. It may look greener over there, but that don't mean it always is. You don't know what they struggle with to get there. Let me show you this, and we're going to close. I know y'all ready. We ain't got but just a few minutes. Let me give you this right here. And then he said, I give you a new commandment. Write this down. In the New Testament, he says, I give you a new commandment. You got your 10 in the old, you got 1 in the new. He said, I give you a new commandment. John 13:34, the Bible says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. New commandment that I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Verse 35 says, by this shall all men know that you're my disciple. By the way you sing, by the way you preach, no. Verse 35 says, by this shall all men know you're my disciple, if you have love one for another. If you have love one for another. I wrote at the bottom of your paper, learn to love God and love people. The hardest thing you'll do when you're studying that book, the hardest thing you'll do when you start studying that book is look at that mirror every single day. And you look at that mirror and you say, Lord, Lord, where am I at? Love God and love people. Father, I love you. I praise you. I glorify you. Lord, I thank you for this study tonight. Lord, I have no idea, Lord, why you've put us on this path in the last couple weeks. But I'm so thankful that you did. And I'm asking you tonight to bless everyone in this building real good tonight. Lord, I'm asking you to be with our ones that, Lord God, that's been mentioned in prayer requests tonight. Lord, there's a bunch of them. They got a lot going on. Lord, I'm asking you to reach down from heaven, meet their needs, touch their lives, watch over them. Lord, I ask you a special prayer request tonight for Sister Judy. Lord, you know she's walking through that valley of the shadow of death. And Lord, I'm asking you tonight that, Lord God, that you intervene in a mighty way. Lord God, that you just go ahead and take her on home. Lord God, I pray tonight, Father God, that she not struggle. Lord God, I pray tonight that you just reach your arms down. Lord, we can say that tonight because we studied the book. And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Father, I love you and I praise you. It's in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen. Love on somebody tonight. Amen.